This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX. A big day for us here. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, you've already missed the first hour of the show. We have moved up an hour. We start at 9 o'clock every day. We go from 9 until noon. And we decided that today, because of our big switch and the big day that has happened here, we want to talk to some KMOX royalty, and we have decided, we already had Joe Buck on, Bob Costas will join the show in the next hour, but right now, we go to the guest line, and we talk to former St. Louis Cardinals football lineman, former analyst for Mizzou football and Blues hockey even, and Pro Football Hall of Famer Dan Dierdorf with us on KMOX. How's it going, Dan?
I am doing just fine. Congratulations on the added signal. That is big news. That's great to hear.
And it's happening here on what will be our 100th birthday. This station on Christmas Eve of this year will officially turn 100. And you were a part of a long, important history here at this radio station, Dan.
Well, I'm almost reluctant to talk about when that started.
Well, do you want us to remind you?
I'll own up to it. I'm reminded when I look at my SAG-AFTRA membership card that says that I've been a member since 1976. Yeah. And that's when I started to work at KMOX. So I've been part of the family for 49 years. I can't even hardly get that to come out of my mouth. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry I brought it up.
No. Well, wait a minute. I think I didn't realize that you started broadcasting before you retired playing football.
Yep. Robert Hyland wanted me to be on the air, and Bill Bidwell, the owner of the football Cardinals, was very cooperative. He didn't have a problem with it. And yes, I actually did a lot of on-air work. My last couple of years as an active player, I actually even hosted Sports Open Line while I was still a player. And you look at that today and go, oh, God, that could never happen. But if Robert Hyland wanted you to do something, you did it.
Wow, that's incredible. Did you feel like you had to monitor the opinions you were giving, or did you just go for it?
Well, you know, I'd never, you know, would criticize a teammate or anything like that. So in that regard, yes, it was. I wasn't attacking anybody, and I didn't go in there and say, you know, Conrad Dobler has been playing like crap, so I don't know. I didn't think that was the key to success, but a lot of it was in the off season, and you know, in the spring and the summer, and when the season wasn't actually going on. And hey, you know what? It's how I cut my teeth in the business, and I'll forever be grateful for my beginning at the Mighty Mox. It was, you know, when I look back on it, I'm sitting there in the sports office, mm-hmm. and my boss was Jack Buck, and I'm sitting there with Bob Costas. I'm sitting there with Dan Kelly. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there with Mike Shannon, Gary Bender, Bill Wilkerson. It was extraordinary, and they were actually paying me to do it. I would have written them a check if, and it's a good thing I never mentioned
that.
No.
Yeah. The moment you say it out loud, then they'll come collecting.
Yeah, I feel safe now.
Yeah. That's right. Talking to Dan Dierdorf here on KMOX, and you know, mentioning your broadcast career, which started during your playing career, it's a pretty extraordinary thing to do, just because of all the work it takes in football to be good at football. How much work did you do during an off season when you were playing, though? But when it came to football related activities?
Oh, well, you had to stay in shape, and everybody had a different way of doing that. I found that the best thing, you know, certainly you had to lift weights, but I thought the best thing for me was I played a lot of racquetball, because if you look at what a lineman does during the course of a game, it's that, you know, short, quick, forward, backward, side to side, lateral movement, short bursts. It didn't matter how quickly I ran the 40-yard dash. I never ran 40 yards in a game unless I was chasing someone who intercepted a pass or something. So that was never important. So everybody had their own program that worked for them. And a lot of racquetball is what really worked for me.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow. Did you have a consistent racquetball partner?
Well, I had a couple teammates that I knew I was better than they were. So I always tried to play with them. And then, unfortunately, I'd find myself on the court with a guy like Roger Worley, and he would just beat my brains out. he was so quick and such a great athlete. He was on a different level than I was.
Dan Dierdorf joining us on KMOX. The first time you ever did a show here, do you remember the show specifically and what you talked about?
Well, yes, I do remember, because it's hard to forget the first time that red light comes on, the microphone, and Jim Hart and our kicker at the time, Jim Bakken, they actually had a show that they would do 1 hour on a Saturday afternoon in the off season, and they called it The Arm and the Leg. A pretty innovative, catchy little title.
I like it.
And Jim Bakken actually went on a 2 week or a 3 week vacation back to Wisconsin, where he was from. And I don't remember if it was Jim Hart. Jim Hart recommended to KMOX that maybe I'd be a nice substitute for Jim Bakken. And so I'm sitting in there on a Saturday afternoon with Jim Hart, and the red light comes on, and it just comes flying out. Mm. And it just, and that was pretty much the end of The Arm and the Leg.
It's too dangerous.
Yeah.
It became the beginning of Dierdorf and Art. Wow. Is what it became.
Yeah.
That's so amazing. And I know, you know, a key to being a great broadcaster is being able to talk about anything, not to mention mastery of the English language. But here you are, you know, a football player, all your experience in sports, also like a history major in college. Did that ever go into your broadcast as well, just like a wide range of interests?
Well, yeah, because I hosted Afternoon Drive for several years. So I was doing things other than sports.
Yeah.
And if you can talk, you can talk. I've always tried to tell people that I have like a I have like a 7-second loop in my brain where I know what I'm going to say 6 or 7 seconds before I say it.
Yeah.
And I can process it. I can organize it. I can get it to come out in a way that I think is coherent. And it's just I didn't learn it in school. No one taught me how to do it. It just came very naturally to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say that I didn't make mistakes. And I had wonderful mentors. The man who I owe everything to was Jack Buck. Jack and I actually, and I think it was 1984, he and I were the broadcast team for the football Cardinals on radio.
Mm.
And I learned so much. He would say things to me like, Dan, you need to have like an adjective Rolodex.
Mm-hmm.
And when you use one, file it away for a while. Don't bring it back up. And he said, we were in a commercial break. And he said, you know, since the last commercial break, you used the word, and I don't remember whether it was fantastic or remarkable or something. He said, you used it 3 times. And let me tell you, that'll just drill a hole in the head of the listener. They fixate on that. And little tips like that, you know, Jack, I owe him the world.
And he's right too. And whenever you talk to an announcer, a broadcaster, they always have different words for like a pass or a throw. They don't say the same thing every time. And they literally work on stuff like that I don't think most people really think about.
Like Doc,
well, you have to.
Yeah.
Like Doc Emmerich had, what did he have? 93 different verbs.
Yeah.
For a pass. Doc Emmerich was a walking thesaurus.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's because it is a familiarity breeds contempt. And when you, if you get repetitive in words you use, you're just inviting someone to be critical. And you're not there to put the listener or the viewer on edge. You're there to enhance the sporting event. And that was another thing that I always tried. I saw announcers that as they aged, they started to believe they were more important than the event that they were covering. And I always knew I was never more important than the event I was covering. And I tried to maintain some semblance of humility while I was doing it.
Well, of all the broadcasting you did, you know, you get your start here in broadcasting, but then, you know, you're doing Monday Night Football, which is the pinnacle of football, really. I mean, other than the Super Bowl, but to be a Monday Night Football broadcaster, such a big deal. When you started doing games like that, it's a completely different challenge, but did it feel challenging to you to do those?
Well, you realize when you're talking that there are 50 million people listening to you. And so if you don't feel a little pressure, then you're already dead. So yeah, certainly Al Michaels gave me some great advice. When we got started, he said, Dan, Monday night, and back then Monday night was there were seasons where we were the number one or the number two rated show on television. It was big. It was must-see TV.
Yeah.
And he said, you're about to have the biggest bully pulpit there is in our business. And the only thing I ask you is, have an opinion, tell people what's going on, but make sure you're right. It's too big of a stage, and you can be too heavy-handed to say something just that you're not convinced is right. The guys playing and the people watching deserve more than that. And he was so right. So it was I tried hard to be factual, and if I didn't know it, I didn't say it.
Well, Dan Dierdorf,
is not always the case today.
No, it is. No, you are not wrong about that. And it's awesome to talk to you today because it's an important day for us, and you are such an important part of this station and the history of it. And we thank you for giving us time. And by the way, I'm a Bears fan, so can you still play? Because we need line help.
Well, that's just at the top of the list.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right.
I don't think
they could use some line depth. So if you wouldn't mind helping out, that would be appreciated.
If you're a Bears fan, I'll close for saying, bless you, my son. Good luck.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Dan.
Beautiful.
I appreciate it.
All right. Hey, have fun, guys. Thanks.